Hello and welcome to the Royal College of Speech and Language Therapists News Podcast for June 2022. I'm Vicky Harris and today I'll be chatting, as usual, with Derek Munn, RCSLT's Director of Policy and Public Affairs. I mean, it's hard to believe we're in June now. We're almost halfway through the year. It's amazing to think that, but I can see the pace is going very quickly and there's so much on, it's hardly surprising. So without further ado, I'll go to Derek. Good morning, Derek.
Hello. Good
morning. What's keeping you and your team busy at the moment?
Thanks, Vicky. Well, I think at UK level, which, you know, UK, England, for the purposes of government, the implementation of the Health and Care Act is clearly the most imminent thing, with integrated care systems due to become statutory in just a few weeks' time. The Department of Health is conducting meetings around areas of the Health and Care Act that are going to need regulations. So we've been in a DH meeting around workforce, where I represented the allied health sector. We've been in a DH meeting around children and young people to try and influence what goes in the guidance that the new local systems, the new ICSs are given about what they need to do in respect to workforce, in respect to children and young people. We haven't had such a meeting on rehab, and the Lord Kamal, the minister in the House of Lords, gave a commitment on rehab, but the wording was a bit tricksy about whether it would be a separate document of guidance or not. So there's a meeting coming up next week with the Maria Caulfield, the health minister responsible for rehabilitation, and I'm going to be part of the delegation there, and I'm going to be pressing very strongly for equivalent conversations about what we do in respect of rehab. So at the same time, I hope people have now seen that we've issued two documents. One is just a primer for all speech and language therapists in England with what you need to know about integrated care systems and the new structure of AHP faculties and councils and so on. The second document is designed for AHP leads, and those people may or may not be speech and language therapists, but we strongly encourage SLTs to make sure they put this material in front of the AHP leads in their trust or ICS, because it breaks down very simply the role that SLT can play in helping with the planning priorities that have been set for NHS bodies for this year. So that's top of the list is implementation of the Health and Care Act and integrated care systems. Talking about workforce, and actually this links to the recovery of services from COVID-19, you may have seen the news last week about what's being called the Messenger Review, Gordon Messenger. Intriguingly, there was also a woman called Linda Pollard involved, but everyone seems to be calling it the Messenger Review. The coverage was around bullying, particularly bullying of people around ethnicity and so on. Actually, there was a lot more in there, and we were broadly happy. In particular, and it's not the first time this has happened, it's becoming a consistent theme. The Messenger Review said, we heard from allied health professionals that the lack of visibility of leaders from their professions on boards created a sense that careers would be limited. So we continue to push. We did it most recently in the context of the bill to say there are two problems with saying that local health systems will have a doctor and a nurse but not have other professions. One is you're not going to get good service for patients. But secondly, you're limiting the career paths of people from other health professions. And it's a real problem. And everyone keeps saying it's a real problem, but we still haven't broken through on it. And we can see that in the memberships of integrated care boards that are starting to be announced now. There was also stuff in the Messenger Pollard Review around equality and diversity and mainstreaming that. In the context of career paths, we've also taken the opportunity to re-raise the long-standing issue of speech and language therapists becoming prescribers where necessary. Again, because it makes patient care better if we can prescribe where it's useful, but also, particularly in the context of an expansion of advanced practice, prescribing rights are becoming more of an issue, so we're not letting that go. Sajid Javid is going to speak to the NHS Confederation today. You may have seen it trailed overnight as we record. He's got a bunch of new strategies. I mean, there's one around health inequality. Well, good. There's a 15-year workforce strategy. Good. There comes a point where you don't want more strategies. You want action. We've got workforce strategies. We need a plan. We need to know how many people there are going to be in what area. So I'm a bit fearful that even though the top lines are welcome, this will just push concrete action further down the road. So that's it in respect of the workforce response. There's one other thing falling out of COVID-19, which is the Airborne Protection Alliance that we've been involved in throughout relating to infection control and RPE. They published their latest statement and guidance. We've separated out transparent face coverings now because they're actually not going to be useful in the COVID-19 context, but we're going to continue to push on them. You'll see our updated guidance gives a list of products which may be okay, but you have to do your own local assessment of this because there isn't central procurement for England, there is for Scotland. Okay. And the very last thing on COVID-19, listening event coming up for children's services to talk about the challenges that children's services are particularly facing. On the subject of children, the SEND review in England, the consultation continues right now. We are finalising our response to the SEND review. We're doing this, of course, with members, but we're also co-producing it with parents with an interest in SEND. So we're very pleased with that. That consultation will go in at the end of the month into July. And lastly, as we record this, this week it's the United Nations Disability Conference. I'm attending, sadly, I have to say, I'm not in New York, I'm attending virtually, but I'm part of the United Nations Disability Conference. What we have done, though, is put forward service user advocates, particularly a powerful statement from an AAC user, as our presentations to the United Nations Conference on Disability.
Great, thank you. Well, there's clearly a lot happening at the moment. Sorry you couldn't be in New York, but maybe next time. So if I can find the links, I will put links to the relevant things that you've mentioned there in the notes for the show. Okay, so that's a lot going on, but I'm sure there's more. So what else is in the news or worthy of a mention?
I suppose some members may read our kind of weekly monitoring update, but a number of things have happened since we last spoke, Vicky, which I think listeners to this podcast will be interested in. We were front page of the Daily Telegraph with a story from Kameny around the lockdown delay to child development. Do check that out from the Telegraph if you can. It was helpful. The Education Endowment Foundation have done a report linked to this on the impact of the pandemic on pupil outcomes in reception. And we've known all along that school entry is where we're going to see the effects of the lockdown come through. We also know that some parents report that lockdown was helpful. It depends on the family, it depends on the context. But overall, Education Endowment Foundation find an increase to 25% of school entry children who could benefit from additional communication and language support. And that equates to about two additional children in every classroom needing communication and language support compared to before lockdown. The McAllister Review of Children's Social Care came out. Amidst all the other things that were in it, formally recognised the prevalence of speech, language and communication needs amongst children in social care, and reference the need for speech and language therapists. And the third one I just wanted to touch on was a new blueprint for the respiratory workforce. And it talked about the importance of the multi-professional respiratory team, and again, specifically highlighted speech and language therapists, and talked about the additional staffing required and the changes in resourcing. So across the piece, Vicky, we're back in the world we live in all the time. External bodies and experts, academics, other professions, lobby groups say we need more speech and language therapy. We need more speech and language support. It's not us saying, it is us saying this, but there's plenty of other people saying it too. And yet when the hard edge of resource allocation comes, we don't seem to be prioritised. It's the the eternal challenge of my professional life. We've continued to do our co-produced work on awareness around different conditions, and the work we were able to do during the month of May was to focus particularly on verbal dyspraxia, and that's worth checking out as well.
Great, thank you. Now, I wonder if, for the final piece, could you take us on a little tour around the UK? What are the key things happening in the home nations?
Certainly, and I'll just pick a couple of things in each nation, because obviously each nation has got its own whole panoply, but things where we have had a particular engagement. In Scotland in the last few weeks, Trans Scotland, the main organisation for trans people, put out a strong statement around the role of speech therapy. The way that Trans Scotland put it was that trans people turn to speech therapy to help align their voice with their true self, which I thought was a lovely way of putting it. And Sean Pert, our deputy chair, who is a big expert in gender identity services, was extensively quoted in the Scottish press around that. We've also just had good news around a bill in the Scottish Parliament called the Good Food Nation Bill, where we've continued what we've been doing for a number of years now with Scottish legislation, simply putting forward amendments to say, see this initiative, see this agency, see this new government programme in Scotland, make it communication inclusive, because you have a Scottish government commitment to inclusive communication. And just as we've done previously with the Consumer Bill and the Social Security Bill, our amendments to the Good Food Nation Bill around inclusive communication have been accepted. So that's another change in the law that we've managed to achieve this year. Wales, there's a campaign called Talk With Me. It's a Welsh Government campaign, and it's about encouraging families to talk with their children. We welcome it not least because we've got speech and language therapists seconded into Welsh Government, and they're at the heart of driving this. So we have a lot of confidence about what's in the campaign. So we're pleased to see the Talk With Me campaign in Wales. We've also just today had a report published around hospital discharge and patient flow in Wales, where we were invited to get Pippa, our head of office in Wales, gave oral evidence to the Welsh Senate. And the report that's out today recognises the AHP role, as they put it, at the front door of the hospital in ensuring discharge, ensuring patient flow, and the need for AHP to be explicitly recognised and resourced there. So that's also great. Northern Ireland, people will know by now that following the election, we don't have a government. Clearly, things have to continue to function, but there's a limit to how innovative and change-making those things can be. We are promised, again, as we record this, an updated workforce statement on Northern Ireland is imminent, and I'll be able to report on that next month.
Great. Thank you, Derek. It's definitely a packed month, and we look forward to hearing next month on how some of those things have gone. But thank you so much for updating us, and we'll meet again next month.
My pleasure.